Good morning. I'm Victoria Mansky. God is faithful. By him we're called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Welcome to worship. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, ZionLeeSewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast and the bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The message today is A New Job, Light to the Nations by Pastor William Klima. The 2026 offering envelopes are available in the overflow area. If you do not see one with your name on it, please contact the church office. The 2025 giving statements are printed and available to be picked up in the overflow. Discretionary fund offering. January is the month for supporting the important mission of the discretionary fund. The fund is used to offer assistance to people in need. Envelopes are available in the pew or at the usher stand. Please help support this mission. The 2025 annual reports are available. Please take one per household and look it over to prepare for the annual meeting. The annual meeting of Zion Congregation is scheduled for Sunday, January 25th, following the worship service. The Zion Fellowship is hosting a soup and sandwich lunch on January 28th, following that annual meeting. Come and enjoy several kinds of soup, three choices of sandwiches, dessert, and beverages. Volunteers are needed to work at the event and to bring a dessert. There's a sign-up sheet on the table by the entryway. From the kitchen supervisor, members, please check the Zion kitchen for any bowls or containers that may belong to you and take them home. Any items remaining at the end of January will be disposed. The spring schedule of Fusion kicks off on February 4th. Volunteers are needed to provide a meal or snack for Fusion. There is a sign-up sheet on the table by the entry. If you cannot serve the meal, just let us know and we will take care of that. Snacks can be dropped off at the church office. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
Be still. Be still and know that I am God, your refuge and strength, your help in times of trouble. Nations will rage, kingdoms will fall, mountains will tremble, the oceans will roar. But you don't have to be afraid. I will break the bow. I will shatter the spear. I burn chariots with fire. I cause wars to cease. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46.
Good morning, and welcome to Zion United Church of Christ on this cool morning. I'm glad to see all of you and that at least a remnant is ready to come out in this cool weather that we're having over the weekend. Would all who are able please stand for the call to worship? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
And we have seen his glory.
To all who received him, praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your Son, Jesus Christ, now exalted as Lord of all, grant us the unity which your Spirit gives. Keep us in the bond of peace, and bring all creation to worship before your throne. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The hymn this morning is number 42. Let's join our voices together in "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." God has come to us in Jesus Christ, but we often live as if it made no difference. Let us confess our sin. Let us pray. God of glory, you sent Jesus among us as the light of the world to reveal your love for all people. We confess that our sin and pride hide the brightness of your light. We turn away from the poor. We ignore cries for justice. We do not strive for peace. In your mercy, cleanse us of our sin and baptize us once again with your Spirit, that forgiven and renewed, we may show forth your glory, shining in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be of good courage, for God sent the Word into the world not to judge, but to save. I say to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your sin is forgiven. Through the power of the Spirit, let us live as children of God. Amen.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Let us share with one another a sign of the peace of God given in Jesus Christ. Alexandra Brown will be leading us in portions of the service of the Word for this morning.
Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born, while I was in my mother's womb. He named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadows of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity, yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him? For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you."
The responsive reading for this second Sunday after Epiphany is a good portion of the 40th Psalm. That section you will find on the second page of your bulletins as a responsive reading. Let us join our hearts and our voices in reading the poetry of the psalmist responsively. "I waited patiently for the Lord.
He inclined to me and heard my cry.
He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog,
and set my feet upon a rock, made my steps secure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are those who make the Lord their trust,
who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you.
Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear.
Burnt offering and sin offering you have not.
Then I said, "Here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written for me.
I delight to your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart.
I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation.
See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord.
I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation.
I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation.
Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me.
Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever.
Amen."
The epistle lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of the Holy Word. Amen.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John, the first chapter. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Holy Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the chosen one." The next day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God's chosen people had been defeated. The conquerors had burned down their beloved temple, smashed their holy city, Jerusalem, into rubble, imprisoned their king, and marched several thousand of their best and brightest off to exile in faraway Babylon. Decades passed. Most of the exiles had settled down in that far-off land and lived reasonably comfortable lives. They used their talents and skills to make a living, build homes, and raise children. Still, even if the horrific events leading to their exile were as far behind them as Neil Armstrong's walk on the moon is to us, the disaster felt as fresh to them as if it happened just last month. They never stopped telling their children and their grandchildren about the temple in Jerusalem, the fire that had destroyed it, and the last of their kings whom the Babylonians imprisoned and killed. Those who were marched off to Babylon remembered seeing the skeletons of the warriors who tried to save the city from capture and wondered, with the prophet Ezekiel, if these dry bones could live again. When the marching was over, the chains removed, and the places where they would live were assigned, it never felt like home to them. When they tried to practice their faith in the God who had brought their ancestors out of slavery in Egypt, they nearly despaired. How could we sing the Lord's song, a psalm from this time asked, in a foreign land? Years passed. The Babylonian Empire that looked all-powerful to them proved to be a flash in the pan, as empires go. The empire gave way to the Persians, different rulers with very different ideas of how to govern a conquered people. God has punished their people, they concluded, but has never forgotten them. Into this mixture of grieving, anguish, and mystery, God sent a prophet to his people, bringing words of comfort and hope. The prophet, who admired the work of Isaiah 2 centuries earlier, spent his life among God's chosen people and knew their sense of longing and loss. He spoke to God's chosen people in their foreign land, telling them that their years of exile and punishment would soon end. In the voice of this prophet, whose name has been lost to history, God told the chosen people that he was using the Persians' king, Cyrus, as an instrument of his grace. Cyrus didn't know about this, but this foreign king was part of God's plan for the chosen people to return to the promised land. We don't know the name of this prophet whose lyrical poems and vision of the future were collected and added to the body of Isaiah's work. Perhaps his name was also Isaiah, but we will never know with any confidence. All we know is that he was a brilliant spokesperson for God, whose mouth was like a sharp sword and whose oracles were like a polished arrow. Among the 16 or so chapters the scholars believe were written by this second Isaiah, we find 4 mystifying poems about a servant of God who anguishes over his work. The servant of these servant songs is never named in the 4 poems, and the people of faith have been guessing about the servant's identity for more than 2,500 years. Is the servant described in these verses the prophet himself? Is the servant the whole people Israel? Is the servant not a real person and instead a creation of the prophet's imagination? The songs hit at all of these possibilities in various places. The early Christians thought these poems, with their themes of death and resurrection, were a prediction of the work of Jesus Christ. it is best to remember that the songs themselves were created and set down on paper more than 5 centuries before Jesus was born. The idea that they predicted the life and death of Jesus came when the earliest believers in Christ looked back into the Old Testament. The prophet and those who heard the prophet's words weren't thinking about Jesus and pondered these words in light of their own struggles about faith. The servant song that Alexandra read to us a few minutes ago is the second out of the four. In 7 short verses, the servant revels in confidence that God has called him to play a part in the story of God's redemptive love, even before he was born. "You are my servant Israel," God tells him, "in whom I will be glorified." While the servant utterly trusts in God, the self-doubt about what he has accomplished in years of toil pierces us with its gloom. "I have labored in vain," the servant tells God in his annual report. "I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity." So God accepts the servant's report. But instead of kicking him out of the college of servants or the guild of prophets, before he yanks their divine charter as God's chosen people, he gives the servant a new job. And instead of naming the failed servant to a new position as the copy machine attendant, with a much lighter workload, he astonishes the devoted but despairing servant with a much bigger job than the one that has yielded so little. "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Yes, you heard it right. God gives the servant who anguished over raising up the tribes of Jacob an even bigger job. Now the servant is responsible for being a light to the nations, to bring God's saving help, deliverance, and salvation to the whole world. Such is the way in which God's economy works. God's economy doesn't work in the same way that the economy out there works. God is looking for different ways in which devoted people and communities of faith can be effective servants, ways that have little to do with earning a college degree or working in the human resources department. So who is the servant? Is it the prophet himself? Is it an unknown friend of the prophet, or maybe a creation of the prophet's imagination? Is it the people Israel? For this morning, let us assume that these songs describe a community of faithful people. Of the 4 servant songs in this part of the prophet's book, only this one names the people Israel as the servant. None of us have been forced into exile in a faraway country with a different language and a strange culture. Still, in spite of our good fortune, we might still feel like those exiles in Babylonia. The world which surrounds the church is very different from the way it was 60 years ago. The culture which once held Sunday mornings and other special times open for the church's work now makes us compete with soccer leagues and other activities for the attention of our children. The wider society once held the church in a great deal of respect, but it is now indifferent, at best, to the church's presence. Many of us can remember a time when it was expected when one would attend Sunday morning worship and bring one's children to Sunday school. When I was a pastor in Pennsylvania 30 years ago, one father told me that his daughters were considered a little weird by their classmates because they were expected to go to church every Sunday. The church does live in a kind of exile on the margins of society that once respected it and gave it an honored place in the community. On one level, We can compare ourselves to the exiles who longed for the Jerusalem of their younger days and its temple. And, like the servant who left us today's Old Testament lesson, we wonder if we have labored in vain to raise up the church and restore it to a place of honor. Like the servant, we trust that our cause is with the Lord, but we wonder if we have spent our strength on nothing and vanity. Like the servant, we know that our reward is with God, but left unspoken is a desire to lay down our burden and join the society of honorably retired prophets and church volunteers. But God still has bigger plans for us. God decided that the work of raising up the church as it once was too little, too light a thing for us to do. Instead of doing a smaller job in which the signs of fulfillment are maddeningly scarce, God has a bigger plan for us as a community of people who bear the name of His Son. Instead of sending us off to that morning coffee clatch for veteran church leaders, the God who called us in the womb to find joy in following Him has even bigger plans for us. I have every confidence that God loves us in Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I have every confidence that there is a place for the unique witness of God's love in Jesus Christ offered by churches like Zion United Church of Christ in Le Sueur and others similar to it. The forms of ministry God asks us to do, however, will be very different from many of the forms of ministry we have done and have valued in the past. There seems to be no one way in which God wants these congregations to be a light to the nations. Over the last few decades, however, some fascinating stories, many fascinating stories, have begun to emerge, and let me tell you one of them. For New York City's Church of the Apostles, the wolf was almost at the door when they discovered them, when they discovered that God wanted them to be a light to the nations. Their membership was getting older and smaller, and a new roof they really couldn't afford would soon be needed. With a future full of sadness and grief, they looked at each other and said, "Maybe we should do something really good before this church dies." So they took the space in their parish house next door and opened up a lunchtime soup kitchen for the poor people who surrounded the church. For hundreds of people, it was the only decent meal they got every day, and the church made sure that every meal they served provided enough nourishment for the day. All could come, no questions asked. The church's new ministry attracted so much attention that volunteers started coming to help serve all those meals to all those people. The church's budget grew and grew until the meal site had an annual budget in the millions of dollars. A few years later, they got around to repairing the church's roof. Something went wrong with a blowtorch, and soon the sanctuary went up in flames. They looked at the empty space, and they wondered, "Why don't we take the insurance money and set up the meal site in here?" So, 5 days a week, the Church of the Apostles serves a good meal to the poor and the homeless who have plenty of time to enjoy their meal in a soaring space illuminated by stained glass windows. Come Friday afternoon, volunteers take down the tables and set up the chairs for Sunday's worship services. 40 years ago, after the small congregation saw the wolf at the door, the Church of the Apostles has become a thriving congregation, a cherished community of Christ's followers, a light to the nations in some of New York City's darkest corners. "It is too light a thing that you should become my servant," God told the long ago prophet who despaired of his work, "to raise up the tribes of Jacob. I will give you as a light to the nations," God told them, "that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." God has big plans for us. When God is ready to call us to be a light to the nations, May we be ready to listen to what he has in mind for our ministry. Amen. Invite you to be seated. There will be an opening prayer followed by a series of biddings, very brief periods of silence for centering, and a prayer on the subject of that bidding. These will be followed by the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you taught us to pray and to offer our petitions to you in his name. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers for others may serve your will and show your steadfast love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the world. God, our Creator, you made all things in your wisdom, and in your love you save us. We pray for your whole creation. Overthrow evil powers, right what is wrong, feed and satisfy those who thirst for justice, so that all your children may freely enjoy the earth you have made and fulfill your promises through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the church. Gracious God, you have called us to be the church of Jesus Christ. Keep us one in faith and service, breaking bread together and proclaiming the good news to the world, that all may believe you are love, turn to your ways, and live in the light of your truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for peace. Eternal God, you sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, to break down the walls of hostility that divide us. Send peace on earth and put down greed, pride, and anger, which turn nation against nation and race against race. Speed the day when wars will end and the whole world accepts your rule. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for world leaders. Eternal ruler, hope of all the earth, give vision to those who serve in many nations and to those who govern all countries, that with goodwill and justice they may take down barriers and draw together one new world in peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the sick. Merciful God, you bear the pain of the world. Look with compassion upon those who are sick, especially our brother Glenn Brown. Cheer them by your word and bring a sign of your peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of comfort, stand with those who sorrow, especially the family and friends of Jim Lindemann and the brother of Betty Bauer. Cheer them that they may be sure that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come shall separate us from your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of all generations, we praise you for all your servants who, having been faithful to you on earth, now live with you in heaven. Keep us in fellowship with them until we meet with all your children in the joy of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to boldly pray these words, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ's church. Let us pray. Generous God, we bring to you our gifts according to the ways in which we have prospered under your care. Follow these gifts with your blessing, that they would be used to share your love in Jesus Christ with all the world's people. Make us as ready to give to your purposes as we are needy for your mercy, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. The hymn is number 395. Let's join three. Well, the text is the same. Which tune are we singing? 395. We are singing 395. In Christ there is no east or west. The light of the world, let your light so shine that others may see the good things you do and glorify God. God is with us now and always. Go in peace. Amen. One more item that he wants to share with us before we go to our goodies.
It got missed in the announcement, but out on the sign-up table in the narthex area, there are printed copies of this survey for those who are not able or do not wish to do it online. If you would like to take one of those and fill it out and bring it back, one of the search committee members will put that in online. It can remain anonymous. You don't need to put your name on it. But in order to get as much participation as we can, if you don't have good internet access, please pick up one of the paper copies, fill it out, and bring it back, and we will get that entered in. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.